Don't they? That's what our hands together and say this was our Father.
In the name of Jesus, we receive
your word in clarity and in simplicity to walk in the light of the Lord. Today, tomorrow, this month, next year, decades and decades to come, we'll walk in the light of your word. Amen. Glory to God. So we're looking at understanding the gospel. Understanding the gospel.
And this is part 2, section 4. Hallelujah. Of series 5.
Okay.
You know, many times when you hear gospel, and then some people don't understand what the gospel is.
Hallelujah. Amen. We still have a whole lot to explore
as regards this topic. Maybe not in this series. Hallelujah. Amen.
I'm thinking I will have time within understanding the gospel to teach you guys what is the gospel.
What does it entail? We're getting there. Amen. So I'm taking us through some elementary things, or I call it elementary. Some basic things that the gospel really is. Hallelujah. Amen.
You know, I once heard a dear man of God in Nigeria say something. He said, there is the gospel, and it's true, but I'm going to say it in the right light. Amen. That there is the gospel, that several people have their own versions of the gospel, but there is the gospel, and you need to know what is the gospel. Amen. That is when I came into it and understanding what is the gospel. Hallelujah. Some people have, you know what they call ajata. Some people have added pepper and tomatoes to the gospel. I mean, added pepper and tomatoes. It's not, it depends on what the story like it. But, you know, some people have added things like money into the gospel. And some people say, I'm a prosperity gospel. No, that's not in the gospel. Hallelujah. The prosperity gospel. There's nothing like prosperity gospel. I remember years back someone asked me, do you believe in prosperity gospel? I said, what is prosperity gospel? Hallelujah. The gospel is the gospel. Hallelujah. So, is there that I got about prosperity gospel? Say the Lord gospel. What is it of that? Hallelujah. So we're looking at the gospel. Understanding what the gospel is. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. So we've been taking giant strides in this topic. Hallelujah. And we're exploring it, having a holistic view of what the gospel is right from the Genesis. Hallelujah. So we said something. We said the Genesis is how you also read the Bible. From the Genesis is how you also read the Bible.
Read the Bible and not reading it from the Genesis doesn't show you as a smart student. Doesn't show that you are a good student. Because every good student will read from Genesis. In fact, I put it like this. Every good student must follow his teacher, right? As believers, who is our teacher? This is my pastor. You're right. But who is the teacher of Scripture? Who is the teacher of Scripture? Jesus talks from Scripture, right? So, in Luke 24, from verses 25, Jesus met his disciples on their way to Emmaus. He met them. And they were giving Jesus gist about Jesus. I didn't know that they were giving Jesus gist about themselves. How about that? Has that happened to you before? People are gossiping about that. They didn't know that you were here when they were giving their gossip about you. You understand? That happened to me. And I was just open my mouth. I didn't know that this person is back. Amen? The other one before was giving the young one. Well, I was there, right? Amen? So they're giving Jesus gist about Jesus, not knowing that it was Jesus that was there. And Jesus said to them in verse 25, Luke 24, you can read. I mean, you should open your Bible. Luke 24, 25. He said, therefore, fools are slow about to believe in all the prophets that spoke of. He said, of not the Christ to suffer the things and to enter into his glory. That's the beginning of Moses. Did you see that? Did you see that in your Bible? Beginning at what? Moses. So Jesus took them from Moses. What is Moses? Genesis. Amen. Genesis. So I said to us, that nomenclature where people will tell you, that statement where people will say Old Testament is God is a stupid statement. It's not from God. Because Jesus himself will read from Moses. It's not like Old Testament is God. In fact, Old Testament doesn't deal with books. So Genesis down to Malachi is not Old Testament.
I thought I've told you that, right? Genesis to Malachi is not Old Testament. Genesis to Malachi is called Scriptures.
Hallelujah. It's called Scriptures. Now, if you go to verse 44, now Jesus now met a larger audience, which is his whole disciples now. He met his disciples in verse 44, and he said to them, these are the words, look at verse 44, which I spoke to you while I was here with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses. You understand? So Jesus read from where? The law of Moses. He said, in the prophet and in the Psalms. So what is the law of Moses? Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy is called law of Moses. So Jesus was about to think about what had happened to him. You know, Jesus would have loved resurrection and said, hey Peter, how far? I am resurrected. You know, it should have been very easy, right? Hey Peter, I'm up. How far? Come on. Is it Peter? It's Jesus. Go and tell everybody I'm alive. No, Jesus didn't do that. He told them beginning at most. So that means whatever thing that has happened from his death to his burial to the resurrection, Jesus taught it from where? Genesis down to Malachi. He says, in the law of Moses, in the prophets. This is that the prophet, I mean the prophets of scripture. Where you have where you have Isaiah, right? That is called the prophet. It's the prophet and the Psalms. Isaiah, he did not stop the whole Castellan books. He didn't say it's all Testament is God. Just listen to my gift, I'm resurrected. Let me give you Jesus was not giving. Did Jesus give them gossip? No. He gave them, he talked to them about his resurrection from the Bible. And the Bible he taught them from wasn't Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. There was no Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. What he had was what? The law of Moses, the prophet, and the Psalms. So that means what is very vital in the teaching of the gospel is Genesis down to Malachi. It's also very vital. Whatever it is, very vital. When I talk about the gospel, Jesus talks the gospel from there. He says, watch it. He says, this is the word that spoke to you, I'll see with you that all things must be fulfilled, which are written in the prophet, right? And which are written in the law of Moses, in the prophet and in the Psalms concerning me. Now look at what he did in verse 35. And he opened he their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. This is that he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. So in this teaching we look at how Jesus taught them on their way to Emmaus. So Jesus will start from the Genesis. Right? He will start from the Genesis. So a good student of scripture must read from the Genesis. That's true enough. Hallelujah. So the disciples are students of Jesus, right? So how did Jesus talk to them about his resurrection, about himself? From where? Genesis. So now they have to write Matthew. Matthew wants to write about Jesus' incarnation in Matthew 1:1. Look at what Matthew said. He said the book of the generations of Jesus Christ. Now when you use the word generation, there's the word Genesis. So it calls what it's writing, it says it's going to come from the Genesis. Isn't that? So Jesus is, Matthew is showing you that if you have to read this book, which is the book of Matthew, you shouldn't be detached from where? Genesis. So it says the book of the Genesis of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. And now it says, Abraham begat. Did you see that? Did you see that? So someone asked the question, why did Matthew start from Abraham and Luke went down to Adam? It did not have for you, right? It didn't have the audience. I'm talking about audience, right? Matthew was writing to a Jewish audience and they believe their father Luke, Abraham. You see that? Who is Luke writing to? An audience of one. Theophilus, a Gentile. So he starts somewhere. So if you read how they wrote and then now take it down to Romans, I expect you've been listening to all my teachers, right? At this point, when I get to Romans, in the book of Romans they had the Jews church, those who were Jews and those who were Gentiles, and the Jews were claiming superiority, right? So now Paul now writes to the church. And what is he going to do? He's going to reduce the ego of the Jews, right? Add a Gentile to the Gentile. And before the Gentiles, you start feeling superior. You're
not coughing.
Now you, what is it doing? Making them see themselves together. Amen. What am I going to do? So, I love what Pastor Shekin will say. He will say, when you read the book of Romans, you must read it as a, like in a course, in a law course, right? So, Paul is now judging, and then he is bringing them to see that they are together. You see that? So what does he do? When the Jews are saying, we are superior, he says, no, 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 no. Abraham was first to be Gentile for the game. You see that? So when the Jews are about to say, hey, when the Gentile are like, hey, hey! He now reminds them, if God can take away the blind, so you have the right. And put, so you should be careful. So you see that? Just parabola. We are all together. Amen. Amen.
Just around, now you just see that. Amen. But notwithstanding,
he writes so. He writes so that you will see, Genesis, Matthew 1, writes so that you will see
that very vital point that you shouldn't get detached
from where he's reading from. He's reading from somewhere. Right? Where is he reading from? From the Tassinite book. So he's writing the story of Jesus. He's not writing it like Hills by Moonlight. He's not writing it like a Cartoon Network story. No, he writes it for you to see from the Genesis. Who did he learn from? Jesus. Did you see that? Did you see that? He's writing this generation of Jesus, not writing like a story, Bible story. Amen. He's writing it from the Genesis. Amen. Look at Mark. Mark 1. Mark 1. He says, the beginning. Open to Mark 1.
It is the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. I told you many times when you find the word beginning in scriptures, it's referring to what Genesis. So use the word archaeoma, the beginning of the gospel.
When you use the word beginning, that's Genesis. Now, it says the Genesis of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. So he's calling Genesis the gospel of Jesus. But Jesus is not in Genesis. He was there. Amen, right? Did I tell you that? Did I tell you that? I told us that the difference between the Old Testament book and the New Testament book is not Jesus. Let that hear? It's not Jesus. Jesus was in both worlds. Was both in the Old Testament and the New Testament. Did I show you that? Amen. But what is his name in the Old Testament? It's not called Jesus. It's called who? The Word of the Lord. Hallelujah. The visible reality of God was in the Old Testament books, but not as a man. How am I following that? So the difference between Old and New Testament is not Jesus. Hallelujah. That can be something, but that's the truth.
Look at John.
Okay, follow me. So John keeps the disease and says, in the beginning was the Word. Word there is the word Jabbar, right? In the Hebrew. That's the word Jabbar. Jabbar is used for the visible reality of God in the Old Testament. The visible reality of God. In Genesis chapter in Genesis chapter 15, verse 4, the Bible says the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision, saying. Now when you know the word of the Lord came, is not I know Cartoon Network and Jehovah Witness has shown you that heaven will now open one word, something now be talking from the sky. No. When he said the word of the Lord came, and Abraham was like, Abraham, Abraham. Oh dear Lord. No. That is not what happened. That is cartoon. That is why we have to be careful with the kind of cartoon you want. That was cartoon. I don't allow my child to watch, my children to watch. I don't allow them. It's better not to have such mental issues, such mental pictures, because it will affect you till you grow. Even as I am, man, sometimes I keep telling you, I'm sitting here. I don't like this every day. Don't want to do every weekend. Right? And I've been teaching like that since 2005.
Every week. Now, I teach you.
But yet, sometimes when I get to Genesis 3, I still used to see that snake on top of 3. No. I still used to picture it. Because I watched that cartoon somewhere. Oh, the only thing when I came there, I said, it is. You think? I'm not the guy. It's sometimes in my mind. And I'm telling you what I want. Is that disgusting? You should not hear them talking. And you think I'm forming it? No, it's in my head.
These are not that I know the gospel. That is not a snake that's come.
Yeah. But it's in there. So mind what you watch. In fact, you can easily forget words, but visuals are very hard to forget. So mind it.
Amen.
Visuals are hard. Some of you can still remember some of the cartoon you watched when you were small. Robocop.
Oh, you hear me? I don't know Robocop.
Do you know Robocop?
Yeah? Can you still remember? You might be small.
A lot of us vote on.
A human movie.
No,
not for you. Vote on. Vote on. We are cutting the game. Okay, we need the food is everywhere now.
Samurai.
No, this guy is not Samurai. You know Samurai?
Yes, sir.
You don't know Kenshi? You know Kenshi? Not Kensho, Kenshi.
Yeah? Those things are visuals. They're still there somewhere. Some of you, when you hear meditate,
see, today you still be thinking of Avatar. Once the entire Avatar movie.
Yeah. Is that there? There's meditating.
No.
Is meditating?
No.
Hallelujah.
No, it's just the visuals are very, very, very strong.
But, so, that was how did I get it? So, how did I get it? Okay, the Dabaya.
So, when you hear word of the Lord, it's not that something open in the sky. No. Bible says the word of the Lord came. Now, that word came or called is used for a message. So that means something came to Abraham and spoke to Abraham. Hallelujah. And it's called word of the Lord. Dabar. In Genesis 4, Genesis 15:4. It says the word of the Lord came to Abraham saying. So how can word came saying? Jesus has claimed the word is personified. Did you see that? Amen. Amen. The word came saved.
And it's the event that you see. Hallelujah. Hope you're following me. Now let's see something else. I have to jump? Okay. Genesis chapter 3. Now, this same Dabar was in the garden. In Genesis 3, verse 8, it says, "And that is a shade of the same word Dabar." Now, is this the word? And they heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden. Voice walking.
Amen. Amen. In the garden. Yes, it's referring to the Ruach of God, but it says the voice of the Lord walking in the garden. God's word walk. That means they heard God was coming. Hallelujah. Amen. It shows you a visible person. They heard it. They heard him coming and they hid themselves. This is that. That means it was visible. This is that. Amen. So that means you could say the one who passed the judgment, the one who passed the judgment in the garden is the Gabriel. Hallelujah.
Amen. Hope you're following me. Hope you're following me. So, was it present in the garden?
Yes.
Oh.
First Samuel. First Samuel. First Samuel. Chapter 3. Are you there? Look at verse 9. And Samuel said unto Eli, therefore, Eli said unto Samuel, go. Now, this is when the voice,
Samuel heard God call him, but he didn't know it was God. So he went to Eli, right? Right? For Samuel. Why did you call Samuel in the New Testament? Yeah? Okay.
Amen. So, now, he heard God call him, and he thought it was Eli. Now, something you mustn't miss, right?
Something you mustn't miss. And I want to relay this very much because of what I'm going to say in today's teaching on understanding the gospel. Guys, I am coming this fast. Amen. Now, something you must not miss here is the fact that God appeared
We're going to see. God appeared to Samuel as the Jabal was present. That same Jabal that came to Abraham was present, for Samuel did not see. So he thought it was Eli. Now wait.
Now Eli now said in verse 9, he says, go lie down, and it shall be when he calls thee that thou shouldst say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. So the Lord came. Look at verse 10. The Lord came. Do you see that word came again? The same thing you saw the Daba. Did you see that? The Lord came and stood and called as at other times. That means the other times he called, he came and stood. Did that? And called at other times. Did you see that? Now look at verse 21. And the Lord appeared, verse 21, are you there? And the Lord appeared again in Shiloh. For the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by what? By what?
The word of the Lord. Is it words or a person? He revealed himself by the word of the Lord. So that means the visible reality of God. Meaning God was visible in the Old Testament. He was visible. Hallelujah. But not visible to everybody. I'm going to preach that and deal with it this time. Amen. Amen. Why is she crying? Why is she crying? Please return her. Return. That one can be cry. Or it gets like a book to write.
Then they lose the job.
What is it?
I think you have to train one.
So people who can write.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
So let's go further. Amen. So now, the Lord appeared to him in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. So now, I said the visible reality of God, yet not everybody saw it. Right? I'm going to take you through something.
But was it visible?
Yes.
Did everybody see him? We just saw that Samuel missed him twice. Right? Okay. So that's the one we do to everybody. Amen.
But was he there? Was he there?
He was.
Now, he was there, but not as a man. Now, the difference between the Old Testament books and the New Testament books,
I didn't say Old Testament and New Testament. I said the difference between the Old Testament books and the New Testament books is that the Dabba Yahweh is a man. But within the Old Testament books, he wasn't a man. How are you following? How are you following that? Amen. Amen. Now watch how John will now put it. In the beginning was the Jabbar. Did you know? So what does he call the word? Is that the Jabbar Yahweh? That we read it. He said the word was with God. Right? And the word was God. So he's telling you that Jabbar is who God is. Did you see that? He said all things were made by the book. Who? I know you want to call God, but who? The Lord! All this, meaning he was the one that made everything in Genesis. He said, and without him was anything made that was made. So that meant in Genesis 1, who spoke was the devil? What are you following me? And I say he is life. And the life is the light of man. Light of man. And the light shines in darkness. And darkness comprehends it. Can you see Genesis 1 2 now? Can you see Genesis 1 2 and 3? Amen. So when Jesus now says, I am the light of the world. He that follows me will not walk in darkness. He's reading John 1, right? And he's reading where? Genesis. That is Genesis. Who are following that? He's saying, when Jesus said, I'm the light of the world, he's telling you he is the one present at creation. So, John now says in verse 14, and that word, is it Jabbar Yahweh? Is that God? He said, became flesh. Amen? In the Old Testament book, was he flesh? No. He is God visible to man. Did you see that? Now, he became flesh and all came barnacles amongst us. The Bible means that he now became a man completely.
Amen. Amen. So therefore, we asked ourselves the question last week. We said, who then? Who did Paul see? What did Paul see on his way to Damascus? Did you ask ourselves that question? Then what did Paul see on his way to Damascus? We said, well, Paul being a Pharisee, right? Paul being a Pharisee, understanding and knowing the Dabba, right? Have understanding of the Dabba. He appeared to Moses in the burning bush, right? He spoke to Moses. Moses had encounters with him. Hallelujah. Now, listen. Remember, the Jews didn't believe that Jesus is that Dabba. That is the Jews, the Pharisees, because they expected, I showed you what their expectations were, right? Confused expectations, right? Not knowing the scriptures, right? In John 5:39, Jesus will say, you start with the scriptures, but then you think you have eternal life. Scriptures is telling to Malachi. He's speaking to the Pharisees. He said, then you think you have eternal life, but these are they that testify of me. Isn't that? So Jesus said, the scripture testifies of me. What does that mean? Amen. For you will not come to me that you may have life. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hope that will be here. Hope that will be here. You will not come to that you may have life. So that means the Pharisees didn't expect that the Savior, they didn't expect that the Messiah, who is, I told you they expected the Messiah, who is going to be the Christos, right? The Dabba Yahweh. They said he was going to come from a woman. They said he's going to jump from the sky. I don't know what their mind was saying. And we saw the confusion last week, right? They had a confused theology. So a confused, we don't know where he will be born from. Others said they will come from Bethlehem. So others said he will be the... They were just confused. Inconsistent. Hallelujah. But Jesus all the same is God. Hallelujah. They changed them. In fact, Jesus is God. So, Paul, being an intelligent Pharisee on his way to Damascus, having heard the Sermon of Stephen. Do you remember the Sermon of Stephen? Right there in that temple, he's telling them that Jesus you crucified, he's standing at the right hand of God, meaning he's still alive. And with rage, they stoned him to death. Who consented to this? Saul did. Amen. But he heard the gospel. Hope you're following me. Did he hear the gospel? He did. So on his way, Jesus appeared to him and he said, go at thou, Lord. And he said, I am Jesus whom you persecute. And when he calls himself, he is Jesus. That is the word Yahweh Yashar, the Savior, whom you persecute. Whom you persecute, he knows he's going to Damascus to deal with those who are called Christians. Remember that? Who believe in Jesus. And now Jesus appears to him and says, it is me whom you are persecuting. What has happened? He has found the same temple experience that who? Stephen spoke about. It is he, is me who you persecute. He has found unification with him and his spirit. Warning. What does that bring? Exodus experience. He will be found with them. Did you see that? Amen? Find that experience. So what did he see? He saw the God of Israel in Jesus. That's what he saw. Hallelujah. 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 He's sweet. Glory to God. Glory to God. Therefore, we said,
by bearing the name Jesus, Michael, I'm going to kill you if I hear your voice speaking.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
So let's see this. So we said, by bearing the name Jesus, we said names
is important, right? Names is important. Names are used to carry many times in their world, not really, to talk about what one will do.
Hallelujah. What one will do. Hallelujah. What one will do. something we're going to see. But let's look at Isaiah 22 verse 22, just along the line, but we'll get back to it again. Isaiah 22 verse 22. Look at what it says about Jesus. Okay, before we get to Isaiah 22, I guess that should just come up with all the same data. Glory to God.
So we can look in at, you look at names that you have to go back again to the origin of words within the New Testament books, right? Did you say that? Origin of words within the New Testament books. So the origin of words in the New Testament books is not in your language today. The origin of words is in the Old Testament. Like we saw word, right? Dabar. Right? Now we saw another one the last time, gospel. Let's look at that. Gospel. 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 And we said gospel is another word, basar. It's from the Hebrew word basar.
I know I'm going this route. I know I've taught you this in the last series, but I think going from this route will be better. Amen. Amen. I hope you are with me. Okay, gospel. It's from that word basar. Basar.
Now we said, when you look at gospel alone, it's on the word euangelion in the Greek. Now when you subject to the Greek alone, you might meet a very vital detail, like I said to us, right? What is vital detail? You hear euangelion. Euangelion means good news. So what is gospel? Good news, good news. It's not wrong. Christ died for me. Good news, good news. Oh, if I really. Good news, good news. I have eternal life. Oh, wonderful, extra good news.
As a good news. But when you subject it to what it means in itself,
you will not see why it's called good news. It's called good news because of what Jesus has done. Hallelujah. I'm going to get back to names. But I think I should come this way for you to see that. See what I'm going to see. Amen. 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 So it's on that word basa. Basa is used for the news of the kingdom. So when you talk about basar, or you talk about gospel, there is a kingdom to it. But yet basar, that's the Hebrew word for gospel, is used for the news of the kingdom. The news of the kingdom. It deals with two things, the messenger and the message. Now the news of the kingdom. The news of the kingdom can be both a good news or a bad news. So gospel is not just good news. It also entails a bad news. What is the bad news? Amen. Or put it this way, gospel deals with a conquest. You can't talk about gospel without talking about a conquest. A victory at war. Whoever you are, there's a victory at war. So gospel deals with that. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 4. 1 Samuel 4, quickly. You there? Yes, I'll take it. 1 Samuel 4, verse 17. And the messenger answered and said, Israel is fled before the Philistines, and there had been a great slaughter among the people, and two of thy sons also, Hophni and Phinehas, are dead, and the ark of God is taken. You hear that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. This was when the sons of Eli,
amen, died. But what news? Is that a good news? Is that a good news? Good news. But it's called basar. You see that? So it's used for the messenger. Yes? But it's a bad news, it's not a good news. Hope you can see. But it's called what? Basar. It's the news of the kingdom. Eli is victor at war, or it was? A defeat at war. So I give you guys, let me give you the scenario again. Two countries, two nations are coming to fight the battle. Now the battle, they fought battle for different reasons. For sometimes for economic reasons. But many times that they fought, why they fought battles in the Near Eastern culture, which is the culture at that time, the Near Eastern culture. Why they fight battles many times is because they were nomadic in nature.
nomadic means they were moving around. People were taking over kingdoms. So they would fight battles to gain territories to kingdoms. Amen. So that's it. And that is the concept of gospel. It's a kingdom war. You must have that as a mindset. You don't just go out. Evangelism is not about whether you are good in speaking English. It's not English that gets you to say this. Amen. Rebirth is not English.
I want to show you the world. When you
say after me, I'm born again.
Say, you're born again. You think that that's what gets you? I punch your head. What's all that? Somebody will speak your power like this, people will be saved. Because you understand that the gospel is a conquest or is warfare. Amen? See warfare. If you know it's warfare to drive you to prayer.
We're going to get to prayer. I guess I'll deal with prayer during the last section. Amen. Because that is what gospel is about. It will get you to pray because you know it's a battle. Okay, so you can't talk about gospel and going for evangelism.
Maybe it's just to say Romans 1:16. Romans 1:16. Just quote Romans 1:16, then move from there to heaven and hell. From there,
you cannot say that the Bible says this to you. You do that no more.
People will have to say, my mind says. The right thing is, man, I don't think we're just speaking like that. Amen.
Amen. You know, nothing of that. See what grammar. Amen. Some people think it's like Greek. You are meeting somebody for the first time. They say, the human chelion. What you need to do, this message I'm giving you.
All you need to do is just to lambano. When you lambano and catalambano, you now see that the force of God will not be reflected in this. Come on now.
You know, I'm doing this thing you're teaching us. How are we not going to preach the gospel? Don't change it.
You know, sometimes people get to know God, don't know God, so they're like, hey, now what is this? How can we not preach?
You do preach, you say you're preaching. But what am I making you see? Is a battle. So it's not just wearing fine clothes and going out. It's good to wear fine clothes. Don't dress anyhow. Amen. And don't dress a sister going for your evangelism that you're wearing trousers. Do you eat? Put nails.
Why are you going for evangelism?
No, the dressing doesn't matter. The word. The word.
It matters to us.
It's the word. It's the word.
You will spend 2 hours explaining your dress than teaching the gospel.
You don't know. In other words, an earring that is like tire. Aircraft tire. Somewhere.
You speak, you know, I'm just asking. Even if I don't know, I say, please, I like your earring.
Is that gospel? Say, no, the war. Yeah, the war.
You throw that. He says, let me take you to Deuteronomy. Let me explain that to you.
Is that gospel?
Shut up!
So, to avoid all those questions, brother, you're going for evangelism. Now we have to just call your head like I used to do. That I was just call my head. Just call it very well.
Now put a... I did a lot of things that year. Now put a... When people accused me, I now went to buy activator. My head was not just getting called. It was activated. If you are there, you'll be seeing stars on my head. He said, sir. So what did I say? I came to preach!
Then I said, the Bible says you don't put on what belongs to the woman. I said, God, let me teach the world. I never preach you. The gospel. Then open the Deuteronomy. Can you sit in any bath? What you are wearing, you don't have any right to criticize me. Because you too have sin.
See, what kind of nonsense is that?
Nonsense!
You don't have any right to criticize me.
The word of God says you can keep one part of the law and leave God. So you want to keep the law, keep everything, and won't pass the law.
That's what I hear this.
I will spend hours explaining nonsense. Why not just cut your hair, bab your hair, shave your head so you don't look like somebody that is in the country. Amen.
Amen. I'm preaching the gospel. Glory to God.
First of all, another thing, the power is in the air. It is in the air. Copy.
So the reason why when you lay hands, people are healed. Because it's in that air. You know, people are like that. They will look for where the power is. Now I'm saying, ah, the power is in this place. No one doesn't buy this.
You
look like a real
apostle. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. So, how I got there is, you must see the gospel as a conqueror. So when you hear the word gospel, bapa, actually. Now that word bapa is for, like, so I said the reason why the fight was is to take territory, our commonwealth, to take territory, majorly. Sometimes it's for alliance, sometimes it's for economic benefit, but many times it's to take over a territory. Right? So the people that you now with will now be under your control. You are now their king. So my territory is, yes, my territory is just these two lines. And I want to add the other two to our control. Their king is in the most city. So, I'm going to come with Abidu Shaka. This is where I do that. Because he's now less of lesser power. I'm now the king here. This is that. Amen. And I'm not going to go from here. We need to increase our numbers. Because the more the people, the more they tax you. So you can see. The more the people, the more they tax you. The more my influence. And when other nations are hearing that I'm conquering, the people will be afraid of me. So, when they have Gandhi, what are we going to do? We are going to go to UK to go and collect the final power. To go to UK, collect the final power, to announce your president. This is that. So, that is gospel. Now, at that point when I'm fighting the man that has Gandhi or Gandhi, I'm fighting him. There are two people. Now, when they fight, the two nations are fighting. We have people who are all messengers. Now, listen. If Ella, the king, when the king wins, right? When the king wins, the king is the number one messenger. So we're all outside. The king comes out. My nation, the king of my nation comes out. I'm rejoicing. Woo! Watch it. Woo! We are victorious. The other nation's king is dead automatically. So he goes back with the other guy, goes back with a what? Bad news to his nation. You see that? This one goes to a people who are born. He goes back. The king is not here back. What is the king doing? The king is going back to take that territory. This one is announcing. Our king has won. We have the nation. This is that. This one is crying back. We have lost. This is that. Vineyard is dead. So is gone. Ah, oh, Jonathan is gone. Ah, we are in trouble. That is the bad news. It shows that that land will be taken over by the new king. Did you see that? Did you see that? Amen. So it's either the new king makes those or this new set of people part of his kingdom legally or turns them to what?
Listen to that. Listen that for the reason all will be depending on the reason for the battle. You might say these people have good whatever. Half these people might betray me, let me kill all of them. Listen that? So just what the battle is for.
But you must see that there are three things involved, majorly involved in Bapa. One, the conquest, and the one who wins.
Is that? Two, the people. Is that? The people. And three, the land. What am I following here? The land, the people, and the one who wins in the conquest.
So, his score, why is it then called good news in the New Testament? Because the news of God's victory over death and sin. You ready that?
This is why it's good news?
Yes, sir.
This is why it's good news?
Yes,
Uh-huh. It's good news because of what Jesus has done, but don't take away the fact that they were territories one, right?
People also under it. Hallelujah. Look at the scriptures where you find gospel. Bata. 1 Samuel 31:9, 2 Samuel 1:20, 2 Samuel 4:10. Make sure you read them at home. 1 Samuel 4:17, 1 Samuel 31:9, 2 Samuel 1:20, 2 Samuel 4:10, 1 Kings 1:42, 1 Chronicles 10:9, 1 Chronicles 16:23. I'll take them for the last time. 1 Samuel 4:17, 1 Samuel 31:9, 2 Samuel 1:20, 2 Samuel 4:10, 1 Kings 1:42, 1 Chronicles 10:9, 1 Chronicles 16:23. 1 Chronicles 10:9, 16:23. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's focus a bit on the king. The king who won in the conquest.
Now the king who won in the conquest, right? In the conquest or in the gospel is the performer. It's called the performer. The conqueror of the battle.
He's called the savior in soteriology, in salvation. He's called the savior or soter in the battle. He's called the soter. Did you see that? He's called the what? The soter in the battle. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, in the case of the soter, who is called,
that the word soter is the Greek word for savior.
The Greek word for savior is called soter. Hope you're following me. The Greek word for savior is called soter. Now, in the Old Testament book, that name soter, the soter or the savior, is the word yashar. Yashar. Y-A-S-H-A-R. Yashar. That is the Hebrew word yashar. Is a name reserved for God. So God is called the Savior. Is the name reserved for God. Is God's name.
This is that God's name is called Yasha. Is reserved for God.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. 2 Samuel 22 verse 3. 2 Samuel 22:3. Let's see that. It says, the God of my rock, in him will I trust. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation. Did you see that? He is my shield and the horn of my salvation. I would say the horn of my deliverance. The horn of my deliverance means the one, the performer. Amen? He's the performer in salvation. He's in my high tower. And my refuge, my savior, thou savest me from violence. Did you see that?
My what? My savior, Yasha. My Yasha. My savior.
So, is a name reserved for God. God is called, or is a title reserved for God. God is called savior. Just like he's called the helper, he's called savior. Did you see that? Amen. First Kings, quickly. Second Kings. And the Lord gave Israel savior, so that they went out from under the hands of the Syrians. The children of Israel dwelt in their tent as before time. Hallelujah. 13 verse 5. Look at Psalms 106 verse 21. Psalms 106 verse 21. Let's see Psalms. Psalms 106 verse 21. Are you there? 106 verse 21. It says, I'd like to start from verses 9 to 21, and I'll be fast, don't worry. I'd like to read it from verse 1, but let me start from 9. He said, he rebuked the Red Sea, and also it was dried up. So he led them through the path as through the wilderness. This is how God delivered them. Did you see that? So when you hear what he will say in verses 21, you will know why it's coming. So this is at the point of that deliverance from where? Egypt. This is that a shadow of what? The real deliverance. Right? Right? So he rebuked the Red Sea also and was dried up. So he led them through the depth as through the wilderness. And as through the wilderness. Watch that. Through the depth as through the wilderness. And he saved them from the hands of him that hated them. He redeemed them from the hands of the enemy. And the waters covered their enemies. There was not one of them left. Then believed they his word. They sang his praise. They soon forgot his works and waited not for his counsel, but lusted exceedingly in the wilderness and tempted God in the desert. And he gave them their requests, but sent leanness to their soul. They envied Moses also in the camp, and Aaron the saint of the Lord. Did you see that? The saints is those who died in Christ. Saints. Aaron is called saints. He says, the earth opened and swallowed up Dantan and covered the company of Abiram. And fire was kindled in their company. The flame burnt up the wicked. They made calf in Horah and worshipped the molten image. Thus, they changed their glory into the similitude of an ox that eateth grass. They forgot God their Savior. Did you see that?
God their Savior. When he talks about it, is he verse 9? Is he verse 9? He delivered them. Did you see that? They forgot God their Savior. So it's God, it's his title, he's called Savior. They forgot God their Savior.
Isaiah 19 verse 20. Quickly. Isaiah 19. Verse 20. Hope you're there. Okay? It says, and it shall be for a sign and for a witness unto the Lord of hosts in the land of Egypt. For they shall cry unto the Lord because of their of the oppressors, and he shall send them a Savior and a great one, and he shall deliver them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That speaks of God himself, you know. Hallelujah. Isaiah 43 verse 3. Start from verse 2 here, but let's start from verse 3. It says, for I am the Lord thy God. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. From verse 1 it says, the Lord created thee, O Jacob. Reformed thee, O Israel. Fear not, for he hath redeemed thee. You see that? I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. When thou pass through the waters, I'll be with thee. And through the river, I shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, you shall not be burnt. We'll see all this on Sunday. Neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt. You see, whenever you hear Savior, there's that recurring sound of Egypt.
This is that in deliverance. Is that God?
Yes.
This is that
deliverance. Egypt. Amen. So many times also, that's what happened in Egypt is
fatal also. You also fight for to deliver people. Is that? Amen. Is that fight for to deliver those who are called slaves? Deliver.
Hallelujah.
That's what happened in Egypt. You fight for to deliver people to your own land, and that is what the gospel is about. Total deliverance of people into God's land. Hallelujah.
The spirit to the whole earth is his life. Amen. Hope you are seeing that. So whenever you hear Savior, is that echoes of what? Egypt. Hallelujah. 45 verse 15. Isaiah 45 15. Quickly. Hope you are seeing that. Amen. It He says, verily, thou art a, verily, thou art a God that hideth his, thyself, O God of Israel, the Savior. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, God of Israel is called the Savior. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay. 21. Okay, says, tell ye and bring them near. Yea, let them take counsel together. Who have declared this from the ancient times? Who have told this from the time? Have not I the Lord, and there is no God else beside me? A just God and a Savior. There is none beside me. Hallelujah. So, God calls himself their Savior. Hallelujah. Uzziah 13 verse 4. You'll find it there also. God calls himself their Savior. So, he is the Yashar. That is the word. Yashar. Savior. Yashar. Savior. That word Yashar is where you find is the root word for the Hebrew name. Joshua. We call Yahweh Yashar. Joshua. Yahushua. Yahweh Yashar. Is that? Amen. That's the root word for Joshua. Where you find Joshua? Joshua means Yahweh is the Savior. Yahweh will save. Isn't that? Yahweh will save. So Joshua, where you have Jesus in the Greek, is that word Yahweh will save. Oh, you are following me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Moses says it to the children of Israel that God will save them in Deuteronomy 20 verse 11. This 11 now, I'm 44. Okay, Deuteronomy 20. Let's get to Deuteronomy 20. I'll see that there. Oh, yeah. Verse 11. Because that's a mistake here. Second. Ah, okay, here's a mistake here. Look at that. Deuteronomy 33, you have to get this over. Look at Deuteronomy 33 verse 29. Just keep that, I'll get that over. Deuteronomy 33 verse 29. Okay, let's see this. This should be correct. Let me stop. And happy are thou, O Israel, who is like unto thee, O people, saved by the Lord. Did you see that? Saved by the Lord. The shield of thy help. Did you see that? And who is the sword of thy excellence? And thy enemy shall be found liars unto thee, and thou shalt tread upon their high places. So, God is called the one that saves them. Did you see that? He is the Savior. In Numbers 10 verse 9, Numbers 10 verse 9, so Yashar, I put there, is his office, is his name. It says, is his name. And if you go to war in your land against the enemy that oppresses you, then thou shalt blow an alarm with a trumpet, and ye shall remember, and ye shall be remembered before the Lord your God, and ye shall be saved from your enemies. So, do you see that? To be saved, Yashar. The ministry of the Lord. You find it in 1 Samuel 7 verse 8. 1 Samuel 7 8. I'll read this alone and then give you the rest. I have others. Okay. Leave 1 Samuel 7 8. Let me take you to another. Just put 1 Samuel 7 8. 1 Samuel 10 19. Watch to Zephaniah chapter 3 verse 17. Zephaniah 3:17 quickly. Are you there? Are you there? If you don't, if you are not there, go to the table of contents to stop being one man. Zephaniah 3:17. So the Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. Did you see that? Did you see that? It is office. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. Hallelujah. Praise God. He will save. Look at verse 19. He said, behold, at the time, at that time, I will undo all that afflict thee, and I will save her that halted, and gather her that was driven out, and I will get them praise and fame in every land where they have been put to shame. Did you see that? So he saves. That's what Yasha says. Hallelujah. Put in your scriptures Zechariah 8 verse 7. Zechariah 8:13. Zechariah 9:16. You read all that. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, who is called the Savior?
Who is called the Savior? Who is God called the Savior? God. Who is called the Savior? Who is called the Savior? Who is called the Savior? God is called the Savior. Now, let's do something.
He's the Savior. He's the performer of salvation fact. Did you see that? He's the performer. Now, in Matthew 1, see this? In Matthew 1, verses 21, now it says, and he shall bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. Watch it. For what? Then the word, that has the meaning of the word Jesus. Are you there? He shall call his name what? Jesus. That word Jesus there is now being explained. The word Jesus is the word
Yahweh Yasha Yahushua. Yahweh Yasha Yahushua. When you have the Yasha, this that. For he shall do what? Come on. He shall do what? The background is what? What is the background? He shall say, the burden is what? Egypt. This that? So Egypt at the back. Because if he says he shall save his people, that means what the angel is saying to what? Mary is the fact that this is God that is your womb. You see that? Amen? I want to say,
his name shall be called Jesus. Right? So he was referring to Joseph. When he told Joseph his name will be called Jesus, he shall save his people. When he has saved, the name reserved for God in salvation, and he has that name to be called, the name of his child is called Yahushua.
Remember, I told you Joshua or Yahushua is not what a common name around, right? But he goes ahead and says, he shall save. Now, you know that Joshua in the Old Testament book was named at a point when they needed God to save them. So he was named Joshua in the Old Testament book to talk about, oh, God will save us from Egypt. This is that God will deliver us from Egypt. Right? But this time, he's not expecting God to go and say, for he shall save. When he gives that direct word, he shall say, it implies that this is the Savior. Amen. This is God. What will that say? What will that say? So when Matthew writes that Jesus is called Savior, he's not just writing the story of Jesus. He's writing the story of Jesus for you to see him as God in a man. This is God that was born. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. It will be hard for you to see. See, he shall save his people. He's called the Yahweh Yasha. Hope you can see that. So Jesus is God. Hallelujah. He's called the Savior.
He's called the Savior.
The Conqueror. Hallelujah. Glory to God. In Luke 2:11. Let's see other. Let's see a couple of scriptures. Then I'll say one, two other things and go. Luke 2. Verse 11. Alright. I'm not yet running fast. This is like it. It's still enjoying grace. Luke 2:11. Are you ready? It says, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ, which is Christ the Lord." Do you see that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It's from the angel. He said, "Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, Christ the Lord." The Lord. Glory to God. Hope you can see that. He is the Lord. John 4, verse 22. Then we'll see some other. So from the Ephesians. John 4, 22. And John 4, 22. It says, "Ye worship what ye know." We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. When we say salvation is of the Jews, that's the word sota there. It's actually not salvation there, it's actually the Savior is of the Jews.
Amen.
What Savior? The Savior, the sota from the Jews. Hallelujah. So it goes therefore into verse 26 to now say he is the Savior. Hallelujah. Say, "I am He. I am He. I am the Christos. I am the Savior." If you read 25 into 26, he asks him, "We know the Christ will come." He say, "I am He. I am the Savior. That is Jesus." Hallelujah. Hope you can see it. So in Acts 5:31, this is Peter. Hallelujah. Acts 5:31. You see, "Him God exalted at his right hand," which is Jesus, "to be the Prince and a Savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins." Is that? So Jesus is the Savior.
Hallelujah. We'll take it off from here next week. Look at Acts 13:25. I'll read all this next week. Ephesians 5:23, Philippians 3:20.
They are
very vital in our teaching.
Glory to God. I'll take it again. Acts 13:25, Ephesians 5:23, Philippians 3:20, 1 Timothy 1:1, 1 Timothy 2:3, 1 John 4:14, 1 John 4:14. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Glory to God. So he is the Savior. He is the Savior. So that is why he has that name, Jesus. Now, remember I told you that the name, hopefully I remember what I spoke to you about the name. Right? Name deals with functionality. Name is not, the name deals with functionality. So what I've done is to take you through this route for you to see a function of the name. He's the Savior. Is that? Amen. So when you hear Jesus, it means Savior. What is the function? He will save. Is that? He will deliver. Who can follow me? He will save. He will deliver. You're the Lord. He will save. He will deliver. Glory to God. Is he just the Savior in salvation alone? No. He saves. Remember what I told you about the helper? Not just the salvation alone. He's our helper all the time. He's our Savior all the time. He saves. You can actually read what I'm teaching you on Sunday to your Savior all the time. He says, so if a man is down with sickness, he can be saved from sickness. In as much you know that healing is a sign for the gospel. Hope you know that. I told you that, right? Now don't you know that? But at the same time too, he being healed from sickness is indeed saved from sickness. Hope you're following. Amen. Hope you're following that.
So can Jesus save a man who is sick?
Yes. Yes. Healing did not stop on the cross. Did that? Did it stop at all? God heals us all the time. Amen. Is the major pointer of our salvation path.
I've always said that to you. Amen. I'm not teaching healing, teaching today, but you have to see that also. Glory to God. So, his name,
names point to function. What is the function? So in Exodus chapter 3, Exodus chapter 3, verse 13, Moses says, when they ask, what is his name?
What will I say? When they say, what is his name? It means, what is his function?
Exodus 3, 13, what is God's function? What is his name? Is it that they don't know? He said, when I go to meet them and tell them, the God of your fathers have sent me, they will ask me and say, what is his name? And then do you think you're asking, what is his name? Is he called Tuku Ebenezer? Or what? No, that's not what they say. But they ask, what is his name? What is his Calabar name? No. What is his Roman name? No. What is his name? His name is Jesus. His name is Yeshua. His name is Yahushua. His name is Yasha Yasha. His name is Yeshua. No. They ask, what is his name? What is his function? What is his function? His function means, what will he do? What will he do? And he says to them, I am that I am. I am that I am is read Genesis 1:3. Jesus in redemption, meaning I'm coming to redeem. So his name is called I am. The same name that Jesus will also bear in the incarnation, I am. Do you see that? Meaning, this is God. Hallelujah. I am a function. I will redeem. I will redeem. So when you say Jesus, the power in the name is not in the pronunciation.
Say the Yahushua.
When I call Yahushua, I will scatter. Shalom. I can't say that to the person that I say it to my teacher. For those of you who know that. Shalom. It's not called Yahushua.
Amen. It's actually the power in the name is not pronunciation. The power in the name is not kind of Hebrew.
I call Jesus 7 times. Jesus, Jesus. Stop all those noisy boots. Amen. Amen. The 7 sons of Sceva, we already cast out a demon. They say in the name of Jesus that Paul preached comes. And the demon said, Jesus I know, Paul I know, who are you? Did you see that? Calm down.
Amen.
Do you know that I can say in the name of Jesus the Apostle to come and give us to you? Amen? 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 Because you are calling the name with a function. What is the function of the name? Healer. Deliverer. Hallelujah. Light. Glory to God. Light in the darkness. Glory to God. Light in the darkness. Light in the darkness. I know the function of the name. I used to say it like this yesterday. You call his name with revelation.
Hallelujah. Faith in his name. That is what is the function of his name. And that's what is teaching. A part of what this teaching is about.
Revelation of his name.
Hallelujah.
Revelation of his name is Jesus. Savior of the world. Hallelujah. That means when I go out to the lost, they're in darkness. I know I'm coming in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm coming in the name of Jesus to take them out of darkness. I know this is deliverer. I've prayed about him and I'm teaching them. Hallelujah. His name is named upon that teaching and they are able to hear. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. Amen.
Amen. We'll explore more on this next week. Next week, Thursday. I'm prepared. Next week also, we're having a teaching meeting on Saturday to cover, to round up